Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. It's Clarissa Burt here. We are back in the limelight with yet another extraordinary entrepreneur this week. I am absolutely frazzled. I don't know about anybody else out there, but ever since COVID, I've been speaking to, you know, as I do every week, I speak to so many entrepreneurs, and every one of you is telling me, you know, your work has either doubled or tripled, and we're definitely all feeling it. But I'm going to tell you, it kind of feels really good. It feels good to be busy. It feels good. It's really fabulous to be productive. And so there you go. Anyway, back in the limelight, everybody, we are, I'm going to remind you that you can watch these interviews now on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android Fire, Amazon, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and YouTube. So that's extraordinary. And then the podcast can be heard on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and our friends over at Inspired News Radio. Please do not forget about the digital magazine. Everything that I'm talking about, you can also find at clarissaburt.com, the digital magazine over there, and it is In the Limelight, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. And my next guest is actually one of the contributors and has been for a very long time in the magazine. Not only, but she's an entrepreneurial academic, which I absolutely love. I think that's a really great tagline. I'm going to bring her on. It is Dr. Cheryl Lentz. Yay! We got you on the show. You're so darn busy. I couldn't get you on the show, but now you're here, and I'm really thrilled that you are, because you have so much to partake with all of us. And that, I think, is really from an entrepreneurial standpoint, the academic standpoint. You're a publisher of many books, which is really extraordinary. It's Pensiero Press and the Refractive Thinker and Narratore Press, which is really cool. And that, I mean, I don't know how you do it all either, but we have those discussions offline frequently. I really want to take a deeper dive into Failure Has No Alibi. I love the name. So exciting. Yeah.
And Napoleon Hill. He is just an absolute genius.
Listen. Failure Has No Alibi, everybody. There's the book. Where can we get it, Cheryl?
It will be out on Amazon in about a month. So we're awesome. Real close to finishing it. We want it to be post-TED Talk. That's the
right goal.
Okay,
well, let's not forget, everybody, by the time you see this, right, we are about 2 months out to publish. So it's already out there. Go get it right away. I'm going to show it to you again. Oh, Failure Has No Alibi. There it is, by Dr. Cheryl A. Lentz. You, PhD. Love it. So tell me why all of a sudden the failure is the new F word, we've talked about, and everybody's like jumping on that train. Why is that so?
I have a feeling we're hitting a nerve with some folks, because I have been teaching failure for 20 years. I've scared the heck out of every dean I've ever worked for, every boss I've ever had, because I've been using that F word, because failure is just part of learning. Right. But now when you're looking at COVID, when things force compliance, I really think is stalled a lot of people and forced them to shift. And that's where we're talking about, is reinvention, forced compliance, doing all kinds of things that, unless we are uncomfortable and unless people force us to do, is we don't like to get out of our comfort zone. Yeah. I think that's where that seed is planted. And so we make a little bit of a funny with that F word that no one wants to talk about, because we know the F word you're thinking about, but it's not that one. It's failure.
Not that one, because we're ladies.
That's right.
Anyway, So the F word, or the failure word, do you think that there's been an augmentation of the failure word because of fear, because of COVID, absolutely, because of the unknown, because of furloughs, the other horrible F word? What do you think about that?
Well, a lot of people like to be able to sit on the sidelines and like to watch. And you started this segment brilliantly, as I'm busier almost three times. I need to clone myself a dozen times, but I haven't shifted anything that majorly. I'm just doing a lot more. I mean, I do three or four of these interviews a week now, and it's just amazing but you and I are doers. There are a lot of folks that are not used to being that busy, and they're sitting on the sidelines, and we're waiting for them, and we can no longer wait.
Yeah, this is not the time for waiting. Absolutely.
You need to just get going, get off your
back. Yeah, you have to keep it going. You have to keep your head level. And not pay, you know, play into the fear mongering. I've turned off, and I know many have just turned off the TV. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it because it will send me spiraling. I will start the whole film in my head. And the next thing you know, I'm a spiral, you know, spiraling nut job case. And so I don't want to go down that path because that's not a pretty Clarissa when she does that. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those kind of things that I think we all know. We said, you said Napoleon Hill, you know, where the opportunity, you know, create an opportunity where there isn't one. And that's exactly what he did.
You've got to be accountable for it. You can't look at the failure and just say, oh, someone else will do it. It's like, honey, right. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? We need to get action. And we can't be afraid because we're not going to get it right every time. We just have to kind of pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and say, hey, it didn't work. Let's try it again.
But so why did you become an expert in? How is it you are the expert? I mean, as successful as you are, how did you become the expert in failure?
Oh, that is funny. It's because I've had some epic failures. And one of them goes back to high school. One of them goes back to college. Actually, two of them go back to college. And for some reason, people like to be watching what other people do. And my students really get into my failures. They don't like when stuff goes right. They like when things go wrong. But a lot of people are looking going, really? You've had a failure for 30 years? Exactly. I was dismissed from the University of Illinois as a music major. I've been playing since I was 5 years old. I was dismissed. And here's the secret. I ran away, Clarissa. I didn't play for more than 30 years because it was painful. And this is the part.
But you were really good then. You were really good as a youngster, right?
I'd like to think so. My high school professor thought so. But here was the point. My college professor at the University of Illinois was one of these renowned, the best of the best. And he essentially said I wasn't good enough. And at the time, I was really upset because I'm going, how dare you? I didn't have a plan B. But what I realized in decades that followed, it was a gift that he gave me. I would have not have the career that I have right now, which is amazing with all the things that you outline in my bio. Thank you very much, by the way.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have done. I would have been just another outer broke musician because just because you're Mozart, just because you can play doesn't make that you brilliant. And apparently I just wasn't good enough, but I internalized that. I heard I suck. I heard
so,
I'm the
So player. You completely believe that failure is a gift.
I absolutely went down that rabbit hole.
So why then is processing failure so important? Like, and processing it obviously in a very healthy way.
Absolutely. It's just part of the learning process. And you know, as an entrepreneur, if you cannot fail, you cannot succeed because you're not going to get it right every time. And we have to learn to figure out, it's a learning style. I'd say, I wish I could turn everybody back into toddlers because toddlers look at walking as just a game. They get up, they fall down, they go boom, they giggle, rinse, repeat.
Right.
They don't see the fear. They don't understand it's a bad thing. It's a means to an end. Very Machiavellian, right? I don't want to walk. I want that cookie that mom has, and walking's going to get me there faster. So that's my whole point is fail faster, succeed sooner, get it all in your system, figure out how not to do it, then get to the good stuff.
So let's get to the book because we've talked about it, but I really want to take a little deeper dive into failure has no alibi. What do you mean by that?
I want to be able to offer people why and how did I process failure? I had to look at it. I had to, instead of running away and putting it in the back of the closet for 30 years, I had to pull it out. I had to look at it. I had to be accountable for it. I had to own it. And then I was able to release it. But everybody says, oh, just let it go. But they don't teach you how. I teach everyone how. And part of that is you got to go through the pain. There's no shortcuts. I was like, fine, I wasn't good enough. Let's look at it. And I could have maybe stayed in music had I processed it instead of what I did the first time I failed, not the 15th time, the first time I ran away like a scared little girl and never looked back. And now I look back and fix a lot of these failures.
There's the other way of looking at that. And that is, again, you were good enough and someone told you you weren't. So,
well, and that's part of it. I heard that. I could have stayed in music. I could have kept playing. I just wasn't good enough for what I was being trained for. I was being trained for Notre Dame and Holy Name Cathedral. And yeah, I was not as good as I wanted to be. But that doesn't mean I was good. And that's why I couldn't hear that. I heard I sucked. I heard I wasn't good enough. He just said, no, you're not good enough to be here. It doesn't mean you still couldn't play. But yet I didn't play for more than 30 years.
Yeah. So give everybody some of the nuggets then that are in the book that you would walk them through if they're going through like some, like many people are, something like a major failure or they're really down and depressed or lost their job or they don't know how to pick themselves up, dust themselves off and start all over again.
Two things. First, you can't do it alone. You got to have a friend. You got to have a lifeline. That's why I didn't deal with this in college. I was 20 years old and I didn't know how.
Right.
This is the part we need to call somebody and have a friend. And what did you just tell me now? It's like, but that's not true. You were a good musician and we're not going to let you fall down that rabbit hole because we're going to convince you what your head is telling you is not true. You need that. The second one is to take action. It's like, all right, if that's where it is, what are you going to do about it? sit and stew like I did, run away for 30 years like I did. The point is, it's all right. We deal with what is, and then we deal with what is going to be and what could be. We just have to rewrite it. We have to do something about it instead of letting it define us. And so I've got a lot of failures.
So important to get support groups. And I found that out later in life. You know, I always thought I'm a, you know, kind of a loner, do it all myself, you know, happy to do it, but you know, I'm always a little overloaded. That's okay. That's just, or I wouldn't be Clarissa if I wasn't working that way.
That's right.
But, you know, but I mean, the idea of, you know, staying in your own head, all that's brewing in your own, stewing in your own head all of the time.
We are our own worst enemies.
You got to get out of that. And you can only get out of that with a friend, like you said, a mentor, support groups. They're out there. No, it's been, never been a time in, I think, ever in history. It's easier. Meetup.com. Hello. Create your own, or, you know, jump on with somebody else. There are a lot of business meetups that, you know, are, everybody's in the same boat. Many people are in the same boat. Not everybody.
But here's the secret, Clarissa. We have to have the courage to reach out. Many of us want to hide because we don't want to tell people about why. Telling you about my failures risks our long-term friendship for how many years and roommates that we were in time.
Right.
Be able to look at, you might not love me anymore. You might not like me anymore. You might not want to be around me if you had the real me. And yet it's the exact opposite. When my students see the real me and I screw up and I own it, they actually draw closer. It's more of a connection going, you too? Really? You can do this? And if you can do it, then I can do it. And I lead them through the process so I can show them how. Because many people didn't show me how. Now that I've learned, I teach others so we can get to the good stuff and get out of it instead of staying stuck, which is what I fear for many people.
Right. So let's talk about the empowerment piece of that. Because like you said, okay, one of the things is get, you know, a support of some kind and then take action. Well, take action is a very, you know, it's a very important thing, but a lot of people get stuck in that take action. How can we get them empowered to take action?
Part of this is I like my little magic wand, and I know that sounds a little bit trite, but the idea is like if I gave you a magic wand and I told you you couldn't fail, what would you do? If you had $1 million, what would you do? So put that piece in there and take away that and start dreaming again. When I have my students that kind of look at me, it's like, really? I can dream? It's like, how do you have a dream come true if you don't dream? I teach dreaming again to the chagrin of my dean, I will tell you that. But they have to get that ability to see the positivity, to see what's possible, possibility thinking, solution-based thinking. And the minute you get them start dreaming, they're like, and then they get bigger and bigger. And suddenly they have to. Because remember, life doesn't happen to us. It happens for us. And if you can look at that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And again, switching the mindset. And by the way, just go read Napoleon Hill's thinking.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of that. You know, every entrepreneur on the planet has been down that road.
It's our Bible.
That, you know, once, if not more, many times. And it's truly, you know, it's life-changing and can help, especially in these times. Yes. Let's get to another exciting news, which is your TED Talk. I want to get all over that. I know it's in Farmingdale on the 10th of October. Is it going to be live streamed?
It will be live streamed. We have some interesting technology that I can't give away all of our secrets in there, but it is amazing that it is going forward. And here is the secret, is the fact that we found a new way forward. We found a way to still do the same thing we've always done. And you, chances are you won't even notice it's going to be doing differently. So I challenge you to look at that technology. Oh yes, it will be as if we are all there. It'll be cool.
So are you? Do you have the whole speech memorized now?
I'm close. It's about 12 and a half minutes and I'm really close to it in there. I practice 3-4 times a day. So I want it to be epic. So we'll
see. I'll bet you do. Now, don't they allow, I know they have a timer on the stage. Do they allow you to have bullet points as well?
I've chosen not to do PowerPoint. To me, I look at all of the presentations that when you're looking at PowerPoint, people tend to read the slides and not you. So it's all me. And I want to be able to make sure that I'm going to be the message and the messenger, not the distraction. So the answer is yes, but it's really kind of discouraged. And only if there's a specific pictures or something along those lines.
For the imagery, So, okay. But it's on the 10th. Where can we see you? Is there somewhere we can go to, you know, check in? A link.
I will have the link right now on my website, which is drcherylentz.com. Make it easy. I will post all of that when it comes live on the day of, probably a few days before we'll have all the links. So it will be there. And let me tell you, I am so excited. One of the largest.
I bet you are. That's a really cool piece. It's in the ticker right now, everybody. Just
thank you.
You're welcome. drcherylentz.com. You saw the picture of her book before. Tell us about London. That's so exciting. The Evolve Network. You were there on the 9th, I guess, or somehow either there or you were. Did you go there or was it?
No, I was digital.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where all of my podcasts and talks and things have been. But it was so amazing, just like you and I are talking, that I was 10,000 miles away with groups in there. And I've connected with many of them after the fact. And we're now LinkedIn buddies. And we hope that when the COVID stuff in there, that I've got a whole lot of people waiting for me to come across the pond. And I can't wait to go.
I'll bet you can't wait to go. So tell me what that was like. I mean, how many people were on that event? And were you talking about the same subject, about failure?
Same. Yeah. They're looking about empowerment just too, is reinvention. They looked a little bit at the military side because I'm a former military wife of 23 years. I've moved 38 times, which catches everyone's attention going, how do you do it? Right. Initially, I think it was difficult, but because I've moved so often and reinvented myself so many times, here's what they love.
Awesome.
I don't get to do just one thing. I have been in radio and TV. I've been a concierge. I've been at the Spokane Opera House. I've been with the Shrine Circus. Why do you get just one? And
right.
People are like, really? So when they ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's like, I want to be lots of things. And now I'm going to reinvent myself again. Why not?
I used to get that a lot too. It's like, oh, you're all over the place. You do so many things. Yeah, I do. And it's extraordinary.
It's
I
fabulous.
Love doing that.
Why do you,
you
do
know?
That?
Yeah. I mean, and I might not have stayed in too many of them for too long. You know, I got an album behind me here, you know, because I sang for a while, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I did it. I wanted to do it. I did it. It went fine. I got an album. I was on the radio next, you know, I just kept moving on.
I did my modeling stuff for a couple of years. I did the pageant thing for a couple of years. I even ride a Harley, which blows my, you know, my students.
Yes.
Oh, don't know where to put you. Don't put us in a box, right?
Yeah, don't put us in a box. But let's get over to your publishing box a moment. I want that because you're so successful with that. I know you do a lot of online teaching and you've got students, but I love the publishing, your publishing arm. Are there two of them actually, if not three? I don't know. I lost count. But so why did you decide to go down the publishing route? That's a lot of work.
It is. And I went there because I got mad. And here's soon as when I graduated with my doctorate, this was back in 2007. And I started realizing that the university wants us to publish. That's what we're expected to do when we become a scholar. And then I started understanding the publishing world. And my question was, and y'all are okay with that? Because I kept getting that's the way we've always done it. And that's the way we've always done it is for lazy people who don't want to step up and offer a better model. And I didn't like the fact that I went through more than 4 years and I was going to publish in a peer-reviewed journal and they were going to own my copyright. And that was it. And I just spent 4.5 years and all those nice little I love me walls and all this money and stuff. And you're going to own what I just did. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Yeah. Not my mama's pretty girl. So I offered a different model. And so now 14 years later, I have done the 3 to 5 years. I'm the woman entrepreneur. We've done 21 different models or 21 different anthologies of this now. And
it's unbelievable. That is
it was just a matter of getting me mad. And my company was actually formed on a cocktail napkin. How funny is that? Because my response was, well, if anyone else can do it, I'm a doctor, right? I can figure this out. Oh, truer words were never spoken. So I had to figure it out, but we're still here 14 years later.
That is incredible. What's the next book coming out?
Next one will be social media, actually. We wanted to be able to teach social media instead of people just playing on social media because there's an awful lot of techniques that a lot of people don't know and are getting in trouble with because they don't know strategies. So we're going to teach them a thing or two, and that comes out the end of October as well.
That's really cool. Okay, well, any last minute words of advice? First of all, I want everybody to know where they can find you. So drcherylentz.com is one, but you know, you're on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, everywhere is Dr. Cheryl Lentz, easy enough. There was something else here though, about the free gift to the audience. So if it was effective study skills or welcome home, Siberian Husky rescue book, or it just goes on and on. So what did you mean by all of, because there's a lot there.
Exactly. I have been published 45 times. I have 5 more books coming out before the end of the year. Matter of fact, one of them actually popped today that I wrote the foreword. I'm very excited about doing that. And we want to be able to offer something. I really believe in giving. It's a staple of Napoleon Hill. You give first, Zig Ziglar. You be in service and contribution to others. So if there's something that I have published that would be of interest, we have, for those going to school, effective study skills. If you're going back to school, let me teach you how to go to school. If you're into animal rescue, we have a book because I am a big fan of Siberian Huskies and I wrote a book they use for rescue. Right. I also have stuff for my doctoral students. So again, there's so many books that are out there. Send me an email, drcherylentz@gmail.com. Tell me what you're interested in. I'll get you a free ebook and be able to introduce you to our world.
Nice. So nice of you. I'm going to throw up your book one more time. A Failure Has No Alibi. By. Woo-hoo! Absolutely. Learning from the lessons that failure teaches. I love it. Don't forget, you can get it over on Amazon. Dr. Cheryl Lentz, you are extraordinary. You are a friend. You're a true friend, my dear. And I really appreciate you being with us and your time. I'm excited for your TED Talk. We want to hear all about that once done. Oh, I'm not going to say I want to be the first phone call, but let's put me on that list because I want to know how
it goes. Absolutely. You're going to hear this live stream. Let me tell you, we're waiting 10 years for this.
Awesome. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody and give them an appointment for next week. I'm going to ask Cheryl to stay right there where she is. While I say goodbye, everybody, I want to make sure that, there we go. I want to make sure I get the outro right. We'll be talking to you all again next week right here in the Limelight. Bye for now.
Thanks for watching this episode of In the Limelight TV, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Please consider liking, sharing, and subscribing to my channel on YouTube, and you can listen to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. Go head over to InTheLimelightMedia.com to read our digital magazine, and don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the Limelight.